I'm Barbara Gray. If you know Robert Olmsted from his previous books, especially his trilogy Coal Black Horse, Far Bright Star, and The Coldest Night, you know you are in the hands of a master storyteller. Someone who knows the American character and selected times in American history, as well as his own characters and the land they inhabit, as if he has lived it. In Savage Country, his latest novel, it's 1873 and post-Civil War in Kansas, where there has been a locust plague, and all about was the evidence of boom and bust, shattered dreams, depredation, shame, greed, and cruelty. Into this setting comes Michael Coughlin, who speculates that the war was not, quotes, the end of something, but the beginning of learning how to kill more easily. Michael has received a letter from his brother, David, who owns an extensive spread, Meadowlark, in Kansas, asking Michael to come. Despite the fact that David served on the North and Michael on the South side in the war, there seems to be no animosity between the brothers. David has apparently written that Meadowlark, with its barns, multiple wagons, verandaed house, thousands of feet of high board and barbed wire fences, granary, chicken coop, bakehouse, bunkhouse, cottages, is in jeopardy. As the novel opens, Michael goes straight away to the Kansas land office, where the interestingly named White Church, leader of the Hard Boys, holds the note on the property. Michael willingly pays the note, but will not pay the interest, stating, "I will pay on the rented money, but as to the speculative money, you are owed nothing." About White Church, Michael wonders how embittered a man could be over loss of what he never possessed. Here was one of those mysterious people of very little conscience who would rule the world, and yet he was fooled by the deception of unrealized gain. Like a breadcrumb trail, Olmsted reveals the character of the enigmatic Michael as we go through the novel. Michael is a man who lives by his well-honed instincts and the second sight of his companions, his horse, Kyber, who we discover has survived a lion attack, the seemingly feral yet faithful Red Dog, and Sabi, a setter who rides aloft Kyber with Michael. He knows it is in his best interest to get out of town before dark, as after his encounter with White Church, he is alert for something more to come. When Michael arrives at Meadowlark, he finds that David has died from a kick to the head by a horse, leaving his widow, Elizabeth, a former nurse during the war, in what she fears is a difficult situation. David, it seems, was a most generous man, but not a good financial manager. As a last-ditch effort before his death, David has laid out plans to take part in the last great buffalo hunt, using the sale of their hides and other parts to acquire the money to save Meadowlark. Elizabeth is aware of this plan, and though Michael has paid the note, is unwilling to be beholden to him or anyone. She's committed to going through with the hunt, though Michael is very clear with her that the buffalo are located over the dead line in the Texas Panhandle, and violence reigns there. This is a massive undertaking, requiring multiple immense steel wagons, each pulled by 8 long-horned oxen capable of hauling 4 tons of buffalo hides. Additionally, there were camp wagons filled with tents, all manner of food supplies, cooking equipment, the weapons and ammunition for the hunt, milk cows and chickens, and feed for the animals. An interesting handful of characters begins or joins along the way in the journey to the land between the Red River and the Canadian River where the buffalo are. There is Abouchon, Elizabeth's old servant, who is French, studied to be a priest, was never ordained nor married. Bonaire, the wolfer, who survives selling wolf pelts and whose ears have been lopped off, as has the nose of his woman. Darby, a freed slave who rode with David in the war. Charlie, a boy who has not yet shaved and who is escaping his father, who tried to shoot an apple off his head. The Reverend Dr. Purefoy, who is a man of many ideas but one conclusion. The young brothers, John Matthew, John Mark, John Luke, and John John. Pastor Starling with his group of free blacks who lived through the time after the war when being free and black was a crime. And other men who had a story and not a very good one. From this beginning, Olmsted takes us on the long and treacherous journey and encampment to the actual buffalo hunt. This is the heart of the story in Savage Country, and though there is no way to sum it up, as David has written to Michael, and given what they will be called upon to live through, there are no reasons in an unreasonable world. Nationally recognized, Olmsted's work has been described as deft, moving, and intensely readable. Gritty one moment, lyrical the next, and tender yet brutal. All of which can rightfully be said of The Savage Country. Robert Olmsted's books have been honored with the Heartland Prize and the Western Writer Spur Award. He is the recipient of a Guggenheim Fellowship and an NEA grant. He lives and works not far from here at Ohio Wesleyan University, where he is the Director of Creative Writing. If you would like more information about Robert Olmsted's Savage Country, go to wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.